Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Wellfed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is Evan. We are coming to you from swanky and sophisticated St. Louis Park at the newly reopened, transplanted,
like a mighty oak.
Harken back to late 80s, early 90s, Filio.
When did the original Filio close?
It was a couple years ago.
Okay, but I was going to say, when you said late 90s, it's like, it's not been closed that long.
No, but no. But it opened. It was...
Oh, yeah, it opened like 1984.
Yeah.
I saw that on the website when I was trying to figure out how to get here.
Yeah. The original location was in Calhoun Square, which was home to Il Gatto after that.
Yep.
And Prime Bar.
Ooh, that I'm
Prime
not
Bar?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure it's Prime
Is
Bar.
That sure?
Yeah.
I know that was in Calhoun Square, aka the food mall, which we've talked about
mall.
Before. But I don't remember if Prime Bar was there.
I think Prime Bar is there right now.
Oh, it's there right now. I thought that was Tummer Up Thai is where it's
going. Nope.
Okay.
Tummer Up Thai is the building up, is the next building down.
Oh, yes. You're right.
It's all right. And what you're thinking of is Chiang Mai Thai.
That's what I'm thinking. And it was a Thai place.
Same building.
Okay.
Same food mall.
Okay, I'm not completely crazy.
It's in the food mall, and we haven't been there, so...
Okay, I'm not completely crazy.
We haven't gotten our punch card filled at the food mall yet.
No, well, that's because you keep changing it.
That's true.
It's not fair.
But I think we got the curio, because we did Uptown Cafeteria.
We did.
We did Independent. Did we do Il Gatto when it was open?
No. I think
we did.
No, we never did.
Okay. We didn't do Il Gatto. We haven't done Sushi Tango.
Not on the show, no.
No.
No, we've been there. We've both been there several times.
And with each other.
With each other several times.
That sounds a little swishy.
Well, it was for your bachelor party, if memory serves. No.
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 For your bachelor party for me.
That's right. I forgot.
You forgot my bachelor party.
When your bachelor party was.
Yeah.
And I didn't go.
Yeah. You didn't miss much. It was a lot of vomit. That's
I know.
All I'm saying.
I know. And I can barely stand you sober.
And I can barely contain my intestines.
Yes.
By the end of it.
So I think
I've been divorced for almost 5 years, and I still give my uncle crap for me. I still give my uncle crap because he basically dropped me off at my door. Didn't check to make sure they made it upstairs or, you know, got into bed or anything like that.
No.
And not to paint an ugly picture, but I'm going to go there. Vomit everywhere in the house. Just everywhere. Every single room.
It was like the Family Guy episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My ex-wife, that might have been one of the reasons why she divorced me.
But yeah, we're starting to paint the picture.
Yes. Yeah, but, I mean, bathroom, living room, kitchen. And I don't remember throwing up any of it. Apparently, I passed out in the bathroom. Like, pantsless. Pants around my ankles. I mean, just...
I like how you started with talking about how we are in sophisticated, swanky St.
No, I got to bring it down to my
level. And you went right to the vomit story.
No. It's funny. Because I've never gotten that drunk since then.
And nor should you.
No. No.
And this is where my old man comes out. But I'm not talking about taking my pants off. I've never found the appeal of getting that drunk.
Neither have I. But my brother, who's an asshole.
Well, that's just assumed.
No, my brothers, I should say, who are assholes.
Yes.
Decided that any time that anybody... We went bowling, which you missed out on. Not that my feelings are hurt or anything like that.
Hey, I bought you about $200 of sushi that
night.
That's
true. That's true.
And at the time, I think it was at the video store. So that was about a half a paycheck. So...
My brothers, who, in their infinite wisdom, decided, hey... Every time somebody gets a strike, Dave gets a shot of Patron.
And your brother Mike is a shark.
Well, no.
He's a bowling shark.
There were like 15 guys there.
Oh, you see, that's poor. That's poor planning.
And then anytime that anybody got a spare, we did an Irish car bomb.
That's
Everyone
actually
did.
Worse.
I know.
That's worse than Patron.
I know. I don't know how much it costs.
Are you sure that you didn't actually die that night and this whole show has been like some sort of Sixth Sense
kind of style show? It's entirely possible. I could come home. I could go home tonight and find like, you know, blood all over my clothes.
Haley Joel Osment sitting in your living room.
I'd kind of be okay with that.
He probably just needs the couch.
Or a drink.
Or a drink. Or both.
Yes, we worked in a drunk Haley Joel Osment show.
It's that kind of show.
Yes, it is.
We should do late shows all the time.
We really should.
We're on fire tonight.
We are doing a late show.
We are.
I don't know why we're doing a late show.
We are doing a late show, and by late show, I mean we are doing a Tuesday show.
Yes.
So when you hear this, there will be about an hour gap between when we recorded this and when it became available on the website.
So it is as close to live as you're ever going
to get. It's as close to live as you're going to get without buying us dinner.
Yes. Which we are open to.
Yeah, we're very open to.
We haven't been to Manny's yet, so by all means, step up to the plate.
Or Sushi Tango.
Here's looking at you, Andrew Zimmern.
That's right. Got some money lying around. Yeah. Eat a couple tarantulas, make a couple grand, take us out for dinner.
Or feed us a couple tarantulas. Probably.
I need a tarantula. I would eat a tarantula if it was served to me by Andrew Zimmern in the style of the famous Blue Nile show.
Fair enough.
If Andrew Zimmern basically hand-fed me a tarantula, I would do it.
That would also be the end of the show, period.
Because we'd nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. Or down. Or just poor.
Caesar, mixed greens for you.
Thank you.
Anything else at the moment?
No.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Thank you.
My lovely wife just wrapped up 2 weeks off of work, during which she was working on her final paper to get her master's degree.
Ah.
And her papers were due. She actually had two papers to do. Yeah. Two papers, 8 to 12 pages each, without knowing the topics until the day they're assigned, and she has 2.5 weeks to do it.
Okay.
So, I did a lot of cooking the last few weeks, because she was very focused.
Right.
Well, the papers were due Monday at noon. So we decided we were going to go out and celebrate a little bit Monday night. So
nice.
Which is normally when we record. So
where'd you go?
We just went to Psycho Susie's because she just wanted a rum drink and some greasy food.
You can't blame me for that.
And you know, and it was the start of the big snowstorm, so we didn't want to go far because we weren't sure if we were going to get trapped somewhere. So it's like, fuck it, let's just do Psycho Susie's.
Right up.
And it was great because we got to try their new toasted sandwiches.
Oh.
And they were okay. The one I had their meatloaf sandwich.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the show where I do a lot of reviews of other places, because I got a lot to talk about.
Okay.
Their meatloaf sandwich, my only complaint with it was good. My only complaint with it is that they didn't have a good char, a good shell on the meatloaf.
My big thing is, like on the meatloaf sandwich at Cheeky Monkey. Very good meatloaf sandwich. It needs more sauce. It needs an adhesive.
Like there's like
good.
Which part?
It's got a little tomato jam on it. That's not enough.
No, Psycho Susie's definitely doesn't skip on the sauce.
Okay.
It's a good messy sandwich. So I give them props on that.
You didn't forego it and go with the pork, did you?
Hell no.
It's like eating pizza with a fork for you.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It is built to be held like a beautiful woman. You don't eat a woman with a fork, and that's just going to a weird place, but
that could be used against you in a court of law.
It could very well be. But no, it was great. So but we had to do that. So we're here on Tuesday.
I felt it odd because we don't do a whole lot of Tuesday shows.
No, and almost never by choice.
Never.
It's always one of us is super busy.
Right. And I can't remember the last time where I had a Monday where I didn't spend it with you, which is odd. But I found myself, I went to the gym and then I went home after that, and I get up at 4, so I'm home before like any shows start, you know, sitcoms or anything like that starts. But it was almost, I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, I needs you.
I am like a drug. You need your fix.
I know.
No, I can understand that. Please. You're very much a creature of habit.
Completely.
As am I.
Completely. I have to...
Borderline autistic.
And it boils down to work habits as well.
Mm-hmm.
I get to work, go to my computer, check a couple emails, I go grab, a cup of coffee or warm up some tea or something like that, microwave my breakfast or pick myself a bowl of cereal, whatever I'm doing for breakfast, come back down, sort of start working. But complete creature of habit, and then start listening. I have to listen to podcasts or music at that point. But I am complete creature of habit. So when something like this disrupts me, I don't know what to do.
Well, hopefully tonight's meal will soothe the upset beast. What are you drinking, sir?
I have a steel toe double hop red ale. You all right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wrong pipe.
The actual name of it escapes me, but it is from Steel Toe Brewing here in St. Louis Park. It is a very, very good red ale. I love red ales.
As do I.
A good one is hard to find. Without going to...
Is there any good, local red ales? I'm, trying to think. That's more
some
of a...
Some of the Horizon red ale.
Is that good? I've never had that.
That's pretty good.
It's kind of an uncommon style.
After that, you have to go to a macro brewery that does, a red ale, be it seasonal or something like that.
Doesn't Sam Adams do a red ale?
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't think of what it's called.
Their verbiage for it.
Yeah. I'm doing another local brew.
Yep.
I'm doing their Excelsior. I'm doing actually their brown ale, which is another color of ale that we both like. This one's called the German Bitch Slap, which I was a little worried because brown ales kind of ride that line of almost being IPA-ish or stoutish, where they got a little bit more of a bite to them they just get too nutty or any of that kind of stuff. This is a very smooth brown ale. A little more heft to it than like a Newcastle would have or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a very good, almost kind of starter brown ale. It's still got a little of the nuttiness and a little bit of the hoppiness, but not nearly as strong as other brown ales that I've had before. It's very good. Never had Excelsior.
Never mind you coughing it down.
Well, that was because I tried to put it down my trachea.
Ah, that's bad.
Which is a tactical error.
Bad call.
Yeah, yeah.
We both started with salads as well. I did the baby field greens. It's got a nice little champagne vinaigrette on it. A little heavy on the dressing, I will say that. But it's got walnuts and craisins and some blue cheese.
I think I got one of your craisins.
I see that. And some blue cheese on there. Nice balance, good crunch. Greens are fresh. Again, a little heavy on the dressing, but it's forgiven because I'm hungry. but I would like to see it dressed a little bit lighter.
Yeah, I went with Caesar. Mm-hmm. We're getting an Italian food, and I've always found that Caesar works really well with Italian food. I'm with you. It is a little heavily dressed. I don't mind it so much. Mostly because I'm a big dressing guy, but I find that Caesars, especially at nicer places, they tend to get really conservative with Caesars.
Yeah.
Like they don't put that much Parmesan on it. They underdress it.
Or they'll put an entire a head of romaine.
Yeah.
Just sitting right on the plate, and then just drizzle the dressing on the top.
Yeah, it's like no, the proportions are all off. I think this is a good balance. But it's very heavy on the cheese and the dressing, which I like, but I can see why people would be a little more turned off by it. But it's prety decent, other than this rogue craisin.
Sorry.
What's not your fault, but it's just staring at me like the eye of Sauron. just this black hideous beast on my white and pristine plate.
Consider me Mountain Doom. I just hit it off your plate.
That's fine.
I'm just taking back my grazing.
You're taking what is yours.
Yeah.
That was
my
justice.
Precious. That was precious.
That was crazing justice. That was.
That was my precious. We're going to go with Lord of the Rings. Let's see how many more Lord of the Rings, you know, references we can work in.
We'll see what we can do.
I just watched Two Towers 2 days ago.
I need to rewatch them because I haven't seen them since they were in theaters, like the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think I just need to re-examine them.
They're excellent on a big ass TV.
Oh, sure.
That was literally my only reason for rewatching it. It was on AMC. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna sit down and watch the rest of it. But watch the hell out of this.
How was the weekend, sir?
Very good. Had an adventure.
Oh, did you know?
Had an adventure. So we're in the process of trying to figure out what we want to do as far as housing is concerned. We're either going to build a house.
Wow.
Or we're going to renovate something.
Moving up in the relationship in the ladder.
Yeah, exactly. And so we went to the Home and Garden Show.
Okay.
Which wasn't, it isn't as bad as
I really
seems.
Think the Home and Garden Show, and I've been there once, and it was very nice.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. No, I'm not besmirching the Home and Garden Show in any way. But I do feel that they should have a little gate. Do you remember in Dogma?
Uh-huh.
Where they talked about the plenary indulgence, mm-hmm. where if you cross the gate, you are, you know, all your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
I feel that the Home and Garden Show should have a little gate in the front of it, where if you walk in with your girlfriend or boyfriend, it just marries you on the spot. Because really, the Home and Garden Show is not a place for dating.
No.
It's a place where you are settling down. You don't go there.
You don't go
there with someone you sort of like. If you're going with a person, excuse me.
I'm sorry to me.
That's right there.
Toss it right there.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you're going there with a person, just. Or at least do it like Vegas, where they got a priest there.
Yeah.
Just that, right.
You as know, you walk
even
in,
dress him as Elvis.
You're married.
Yeah, you're married.
The Spaceballs. Good. You're married. Kiss her.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, a Home and Garden Show.
But beforehand, we need to grab something to eat because we're going to be on our feet for, you know, 4 freaking hours at the Home and Garden Show. Didn't really want the concession food. Yeah, that's sketchy at best.
Yeah.
And it really had a craving for noodles, like Asian noodles.
Okay.
Pho, ramen, whatnot.
Yeah.
And Heavy Table, good friends at Heavy Table, had just posted a guide to local ramen. And also linked to an article on City Pages as well. I'm like, that sounds really good. Let's do ramen. We usually do pho. That's usually our go-to, you know, quick meal, filling. It's good. It's like pizza, even when it's good. Even when it's bad, it's good.
Yeah.
And so, well, what do we do? Well, United Noodles in Minneapolis, which is right near Coastal Seafoods, if you got a picture where that is in South Minneapolis, kind of off of Hiawatha. It's tucked back literally in an industrial park. If you didn't know it was there, you'd miss it completely.
Okay.
It is this wonderful grocery store. But inside there, they have the Unideli, which is like the worst name for a restaurant ever.
It is pretty terrible.
But it is essentially the deli within the grocery store.
Okay.
I need to preface this with, I go to a fair amount of Asian markets. This is by far the cleanest, freshest Asian market in the Twin Cities. I mean,
and that's important. I mean, I don't go nearly as often as you do. The only one I have any sort of regular experience with is the one on Nicolette, by Bad Waitress and kind of that area. I don't remember the name of it.
All right.
But that place, I mean, I'm sure it's nice. I'm sure the proprietors are lovely. But you know what? I'm gonna be honest. It smells like a litter box.
Yeah, it's off-putting.
Yeah.
The minute you walk in here, it doesn't smell like that at all. It doesn't smell like food. It smells like a regular grocery store does.
Uh-huh.
Minus, like, you know, the smell of freshly baked donuts, which to me is a welcome and inviting.
Yeah.
But just very, very fresh smelling. I'm starving. I had to eat a bite.
No, go ahead.
We got there at noon on Saturday, which might have been a bad call on our part, but they pushed food out so quickly.
Yeah.
That even though the line was about 15 people deep, when we got there, we got our food in 5 minutes.
Nice.
Which for pho and things like that, ramen and things like that, that's tough to come by. Food was great. We both got ramen. I got a spicy tonkatsu ramen.
Ooh, so, I love tonkatsu.
Yeah. So had the big old chunk of tonkatsu in there, plus barbecue pork and a spicy broth.
Ooh, that's a double shot of pork.
Oh my God, it was good.
If you don't know what tonkatsu is basically breaded pork chop.
Exactly.
So you got the double pork.
Yeah.
The dual porking.
Yes, I did. And I'm okay with that.
Yes, you should be. Now, what was this place called again?
It is United Noodles. It's also, the deli inside it is Unideli.
Gotcha.
Again, probably worst name ever.
It's not good.
No. My girlfriend got the miso ramen. But it got a spicy miso ramen, and it had just tons of vegetables, bamboo shoots, baby bok choy, just extraordinary flavors coming out of this. It's tiny.
Yeah.
The best part about it is, and I didn't get it from the guy in front of me.
Still doing well, gentlemen?
Yes,
yep.
Very.
Brilliant.
The guy in front of me had gotten some other groceries, but was stopping at the deli to get their barbecue pork. Think of like a foot-long pork shank, like a beautiful Chinese barbecue pork shank, just right there. And that's what it would be like getting fried chicken at Rainbow and Co.
Wow.
Oh my
God. I will say this.
It was downright sexy.
And I find this interesting. There is almost no culture in the world, with the possible exception of Cuba. There is no culture in the world that does better pork than either
Italians,
either China or Japan.
Okay.
No, I will put a good Chinese pork shank or a good Japanese pork dumpling over anything in Italian for pork.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I love Italian food. I'm eating Italian food with generous portions of pig in it.
Right.
And it's delicious. But there's just something about the way that Chinese and Japanese culture approach cooking pork that I just find outstanding. And like I said, the only exception is Cuban. Because Cuban pork will, you know... That is my sole reason for supporting ending the embargo. So we can get more Cuban pork brought in.
You gotta check this place out. Not only for a Unideli, they have a 40-foot, 6-foot-tall bank of freezers just full of dumplings. That's all that's in there.
It's like a Valhalla.
It really was. I cried a little. I'm not even kidding you. We weren't going home afterwards,
uh-huh.
So I didn't buy anything because it was gonna sit in the car.
Mm-hmm.
It was warm on the weekend. I'm like, I can't in good conscience buy this.
Yeah.
And have it still be good by the time we get home. but I'm regretting it. I've regretted it since the moment we walked out of it.
Well, luckily the place is not closed, so you can go back.
Every style, every type, every flavor of dumpling you could think of.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. Your eyes would have lit up like a Christmas tree. It was incredible. Not only that, they have... Their fish counter is amazing. Their fish and seafood counter is amazing. It is extremely clean. Doesn't smell like fish at all, which, again, we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we did get some shrimp that they were able to put on ice, so it stayed fresh. Some of the freshest, best-tasting shrimp we've ever had.
Wow.
And that's saying something, because we went to Coastal Seafoods and got some fish after we went to Unadelli, but again, they packed in ice.
Yeah.
And Coastal Seafoods, as far as I'm concerned, is the best seafood in town. But considering that they went toe-to-toe with them, it was excellent. Fresh vegetables, I can't say enough good things about Unadelli.
Well,
definitely
awesome.
A cool adventure, and I would suggest you... Yeah, anybody listening in the Twin Cities, check it out.
And that's out in St. Paul?
No. Minneapolis, right off of Hiawatha.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where that is. I'm going to give you a chance to catch up.
Okay.
Because I've done some damage, and you just have been sitting there eyeing your food and just waiting for it.
Baited for it.
Because I had a similar adventure, not nearly to the level that you did, but I tried a new place.
Okay.
That actually just did its grand opening this last weekend, like right before I think it was the day I went there, just later in the day. As I mentioned, that the wife, she was working on paper, getting wrapped up. You know, the weekend before it's due, so it's kind of crunch time. So I consider this planning for eventual pregnancy, where it's just you are there to serve the person.
You're not making an announcement on the show.
No, okay. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever. Anyway, sorry. But I assume this is training for that eventuality.
Okay.
So I'm ready. I'm ready to go wherever I need to do what I need to.
Pickles and ice.
Exactly. Luckily she's not pregnant, so we don't have to deal with any sort of weird cravings. But she wanted donuts in the morning. Now typically we're both big fans of the Rainbow near a place. For grocery store donuts, they're pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. You know, not expecting mind-bending flavors, but you're still doing pretty good.
Even when going back to donut like pizza, like
it's hard to do a bad donut.
Yeah, exactly. Even when it's bad, it's good.
Exactly. But I remembered that a new donut place opened up. We never got a chance to check out the Donut Cooperative, which pains me to this day.
Right.
But there's a new donut place in Uptown, in kind of East Street area, Glam Doll Donuts.
Okay.
And checking out the menu, they do some funky stuff. It's another one where it's all in that kind of 50s pinup girl, rockabilly kind of style.
Kind of like, what's the Alice place? Lindale Tap House.
Similar, but this is a lot more kitschy.
Okay.
Okay. Like all of the people there working have, you know, the 50s rocker girl hairdos. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And all their donuts are named after, you know, there's the calendar girl, there's the girl next door, you know, that kind of stuff.
Betty Page.
Yeah. So we went there. So my wife is a little more conservative when it comes to the donut flavors. She went with their raspberry filled, which I actually had a little bite of, and it was outstanding. It was amazing. And then I forget what else she did, but it was like a chocolate, you know, like a frosted chocolate donut. Pretty good.
Okay.
I went a little more experimental. Because, you know, as is the case, there's always got to be that one oddball thing on the menu.
Well, you only got one donut.
I got two.
Okay, good.
I got two.
There's real many two donuts.
That's right. And they do some interesting stuff.
Okay.
There. I don't have the menu in front of me, but if you look at their website, they got everything laid out. They do some kind of savory donuts. They kind of do some odd flavors that you wouldn't expect. And first off, I got their apple fritter. because I love apple fritters.
There's no way that could be bad.
I love apple fritters, and my wife hates them, so we can never get just
that's
a box of apple
for divorce.
Fritters. It's been brought up several times.
As it should be. You can stay on my couch anytime.
I know. But I had their apple fritter, and you know, as is the way of things nowadays, you can get it with bacon on top. So you get the maple bacon apple fritter.
Wow.
It was outstanding. It was one of the better apple fritters I've ever had in my life. I don't even think you would have need the bacon, to be honest.
No. I'd almost want it pure to begin with.
But it was good.
Right.
The other one I had was what they call the girl next door.
Okay.
It's another filled donut. And what it was, and I did this merely for science. I wasn't terribly interested in it, but I wanted to have it to try it to see how I felt about it. Because in my mind, it violates one of the principal rules of donut filling. In that there are two acceptable forms of donut filling.
Pudding.
Pudding or cream of some sort.
Yeah, or jelly.
And fruit.
Yes. I'm a little concerned now.
This does neither of those things. First off, we'll get to the icing. They actually use a curry icing, which I must say kind of worked for me.
Okay.
I didn't think I would like it. I'm not a huge curry guy, but you know, it kind of worked.
Were you just going for this is different?
I was intrigued.
Okay.
I was intrigued. It was more of like, I can't believe they could pull this off, okay. But I'm willing to give it a shot. I didn't know the curry was on there when I planned to order it.
Okay.
Because on the menu on the website, they don't tell you that it's got curry icing on it. So what they do tell you, and what I had gone in expecting to get, and what I ended up getting, was the filling for this particular donut was a provolone and Munster.
I can't even wrap my brain.
So it's a curry iced cheese filled donut. And not just any cheese. Provolone and Munster. That face you're making is basically the face I made the entire first half of the donut.
I'm confused.
I hate to say this.
We're good. Thank you.
I hate to say this because I admire their creativity. But that is the first donut I haven't finished.
Uh-oh.
As long as I can remember.
Uh-oh.
Because, and I think a lot
would
of
you
it...
qualified as a savory donut.
It's absolutely a savory donut.
Okay.
And I think, actually, the curry helped it kind of... In a way, it kind of helped it. Because it was still the same donut batter, the donut dough. So it's got that sweet, you know, raised donut kind of dough. So, I mean, and that with the curry, right. I think worked well. The problem is you've got provolone and Munster where they're very almost sour cheeses. Like they're very smoky and very, and that just does not work. And the fact that they were basically like string cheese, like they weren't melted at all.
Oh.
It was a solid, like you just biting into a block of cheese.
I would have put that back.
Yeah. So I think that was a miss for them.
It doesn't sound, the more you, and maybe if I read it, like if I looked at the menu and read it, it might be more appetizing.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's kind of ruining my meal.
But don't let it. It wasn't good. I did not like it.
Okay.
But that said, the apple fritter was outstanding, and right. I think more than made up for the other one.
Right.
And the bits I had of my wife's donuts were also very good, so I would be happy to go back there mm-hmm. and try other stuff. It is a little pricey.
As far as donuts are concerned.
As far as donuts, I mean, the filled donut will run you $3. Okay, you can get half dozens for like 14, so you save a little money there. And I think like dozens are like 25. So it's still fairly expensive, but not egregiously so.
It's donut boutique expensive.
It's very boutique.
I don't see my girlfriend and I going down there just for donuts.
No.
But we have Mojo Donuts out in Minnetonka. Where
I know you do. I hate you.
And it's along the same... It's that donut boutique.
Yep.
They also do chili dogs.
It's an odd combination.
I know, but it's fantastic. Because if there's anything I... Like, chili dogs might be one of my favorite... Are like a top five favorite food for me. And then you add donuts in there, too. And they don't have any, like some savory donuts.
Do they have any crossover situations where the donuts on a chili dog? Or
I'd probably eat that.
You probably would. Yeah. Like mini donuts?
Yeah, I would probably eat
that. That would actually be pretty good.
They had the maple bacon log.
Nice.
They have a s'mores donut. Mm. They have one that's just topped with, that's just drenched in chocolate. It's a chocolate cake donut, drenched in chocolate, and then topped with Cocoa Puffs.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it is donut filth at its finest. That's more on my alley.
Yeah, and I think that would be...
Then I think this Glam Doll...
I think with the exception of the girl next door, everything in there is pretty... It's that, you know, we're going to take a classic flavor and just kind of do a little twist on it. I think the cheese donut is such a curveball considering the rest of their menu. Like, there's nothing nearly that level of kind of oddity on the rest of their menu.
Yeah, that's good. In the morning, now they do late night too. I mean, they're open like 2 a.m.
Yeah, I think so.
They're open like they're only closed for like 4 hours a day.
Yeah, but they've actually got like a full kind of kitchen, or not kitchen, like a diner almost area. So you can go there late at night and just have coffee and donuts. And I think that would do really well.
My thing is that in the morning, because that's typically when I want a donut, I do not want savory. I want sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I want pudding filled. And they, really, I don't even want cream filled. I want pudding filled. It's not even being like a donut Nazi or donut elitist, but
it's particular.
But a custard filled, chocolate topped Long John or Bismarck. That's the world's most perfect food.
That is my one complaint with the rainbow donuts.
Whoa.
Is they don't do a filled Long John.
Yeah. To me, that's my go-to donut. So any variation off that is good in my book.
Yeah.
But I don't want crazy in the morning. If I want crazy, then I'm going to order something savory that has, like, eggs or...
Yeah, or more of a breakfast-y kind of thing, yeah. No, I'm totally with you. And I look forward to going back there and trying other things.
Right.
And the nice thing about this place is you get the impression that this is going to be a rotating menu and they're going to do more seasonal stuff. I mean, they literally just opened like a week ago.
Right.
So there's that. You want to talk about the food we've got here?
Yes. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But what I got were beef kebabs over a bed of fettuccine with a nice, with an oil-based sauce, had a little bit of a touch of balsamic in it as well. Beef kebabs, medium rare beef kebabs, little roasted tomato on there, roasted baby bella mushrooms, and roasted red onions, and roasted red pepper as well. Served on a bed of properly cooked fettuccine. It was good. I wouldn't say it was outstanding. It was a little too acidic.
I could see that, yeah.
But nice chunks of meat. The steak was a little underdone. But I'm not one to complain about meat in general.
That's not true, but...
No, but if it's overcooked, I should say.
Yeah.
There's like a point of pinkness that I won't do. And
there's such a joke there, and I'm just letting that go.
But it was good. It was good. It wasn't great. It was good.
I find it interesting that you've got beef skewers on a bed of fettuccine. Or is it linguine or fettuccine?
Fettuccine.
Yet it wasn't listed with the pastas.
No, it was listed with the entrees. Because there was a fair amount of meat out there.
Yeah, I mean,
the meat was the star.
You had probably two or three full skewers.
Three full skewers
of steak. I went with the tortellini.
We had a discussion, a small discussion.
Small discussion.
Fight, whatever you want to call it, beforehand.
Slapping match.
Yeah. Beforehand, and we had to come to the conclusion who's going to get the tortellini.
Yeah, pretty much what it was, and I won.
Yeah. It's basically like, who's going to get the carbonara.
It's really what it was. It's a pork and beef tortellini, in kind of that carbonara Alfredo-y kind of sauce.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And this, you know, it had all of the best things about carbonara. It had the fresh peas. Had two kinds of pork on it. It had porchetta and country bacon on it.
And there was pork inside the tortellini.
And there was pork inside the tortellini. So I got three doses of pork there. Okay. And it had some good, my guess is cremini mushrooms on there. And actually, you know, my opinions about mushrooms have wavered over the years. I've actually become more, I don't like them, but I've become more open to them.
Like the gays.
What?
Like how you've become more open to the gays.
I've always been open to the gays.
That's why
we got along so
well. Yeah, I'm sorry, the blacks.
You know, that's you. That's you and the blacks.
The Asians? I'm running out of ethnicity.
Well, it was a dumb joke and you just keep going for it.
Well, I gotta keep digging.
Anyway, I actually, you know, the mushrooms, as they kind of worked into the sauce, it gave that Alfredo almost like a little bit of an earthiness to it that I really dug.
Okay.
Like, I'm curious. I've tried Alfredos before, and cream sauces are one of those things that still kind of elude me as a home chef.
Well, they break so easily.
Yeah, and I'm not a patient cook.
No. That is...
There are two things that I've yet to feel comfortable, I don't want to say master, but just feel comfortable making, and both of them have to do with patience and timing.
Right.
And that's cream sauces and omelets. I still can't figure out how to do a damn omelet properly.
Eggs are completely
eggs are tricky bitches. Yeah. Anyway,
it's tricksy.
They're tricksy.
Yeah.
I was a real big fan of the mushrooms in the Alfredo sauce. Like I said, it added just a little bit of kind of a, you know, almost a darkness to it. And, you know, in a weird way, it cut the richness, which you wouldn't expect from mushrooms. You figure a good cooked mushroom will add to the richness. No, in a weird way, it kind of balanced it out. I can't explain it.
I completely get the earthiness, but the balancing is a little... Because usually...
It didn't feel as
mushrooms can be very overpowering.
They can take
over the sauce. But maybe because the sauce was heavier, it was able to kind of mingle in there a little bit
more.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It would have been like an oil sauce. Like, on mine, it was very oily.
Yeah.
And there was... Mushrooms were pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as much as the acidic quality of the sauce that I had. The mushrooms were definitely there.
I'm going to clarify what I was going for. I think they added to the richness of the sauce. I mean, it's very much a rich Alfredo-y sauce, but it doesn't feel as heavy for some reason.
Okay.
And I cannot figure out why, but it worked.
Good.
My only complaint, and it's a very mild one, is that when it first came out, that sauce was super thin for how I like Alfredo.
Right.
As it cooled down, it thickened up nicely, and I think the mushrooms also helped with that, too.
It looked like yours had spent maybe a minute or two underneath the heat lamp.
Maybe.
And that's where the sauce starts to separate.
It started to separate a little bit.
And so mixing it up, letting the temperatures kind of mingle together.
Yeah. But that is honestly my only point. I mean, that was a fantastic... carbonara. I mean, the bacon that they used and the pancetta that they used was outstanding. Nice thick cut country bacon, good saltiness to it. The peas were nice and fresh, had a good pop to them. You know, it was. I would almost put that on par with Loring Pasta Bar.
Really?
And I love Loring Pasta Bar Alfredo like I love my wife.
So not very much.
Painful.
You set yourself up for that.
I did. But no, it's literally on that level.
Okay.
And this was very close to on par with that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
A little shock.
I really dug it.
Oh. We should talk a little bit about the decor.
Sure.
They do have a huge, huge wooden stove for pizza. They've got
wood-fired pizza.
Yeah, they've got wood-fired pizza. Yeah, I shouldn't say coal. They do wood fire pizza. They have about 7 or 8 wood fire pizzas on the menu. All just kind of pre-selected. There's not like...
You can't make your own.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they could do some variation, whatever you want. They've got very specific pre-determined pizzas there.
Yeah.
But nice big brick oven. It's very nice looking. It complements the... environment pretty well. This is in the same restaurant group as... I gotta sneeze. This is the Parasol.
Yep.
Parasole, whatever we want to call it this week.
Parasol.
Parasol restaurant group. So it is Uptown Cafeteria, Muffaletta, Gino Latino. It's those guys. Definitely can tell it's part of that family.
Yes. I'm agreeing with you. It's I kind of went Russian immigrant there. I am agreeing with you.
Yeah. In communist Russia.
In communist Russia. It was more of a Bela Lugosi. But
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
But no, it's similar kind of layout to a lot of those places. It's comfy but upscale. You got a nice amount of room. You don't feel crowded.
It's catering to their clientele.
Yeah, and I think it's very smart of Filio to move from where it was in Uptown to where it is now,
which is
the West End, because that's where the clientele is.
Yep. This is where their clientele
was Uptown in the mid-90s.
Is now in the burbs.
They're all in the burbs, and they're all coming here, because in this area, you've got Rojo, which I've heard pretty decent things about. You've got Crave across the street.
Yep.
Raku Sushi. I couldn't remember the name of the sushi, but it's Raku Sushi.
Little Szechuan.
Little Szechuan. Cooper.
Yep. You're out of it now.
I love this bar and grill. There's always that weird one in there. But the Sopranos. There's Sopranos.
That,
did that close? Is that where this is?
Yeah.
Oh, well then. That's no longer here.
Yeah.
But no, it's that same kind of deal.
Yeah.
So it totally makes sense. And, you know, the crowd is pretty hopping. For a Tuesday.
It's the late 20s to maybe early 40s crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It was very loud to hear when I got here, but it was for a Monday night, which is good for them. I mean,
yeah, granted, it's Tuesday.
Thank you. God.
It's all right. We talked about your
Tuesday
habit.
For a Tuesday night, it's busy.
It's still, it's still probably three quarters, two thirds full.
Yep. The bar was packed.
Yep.
And I got here. I don't know what I got here about 20 minutes before you did. So good for them. I would probably come back.
I would too.
I don't know if I'd come back on a Friday or Saturday.
No, I could see. But you know what? This whole area is going to be nuts on a Friday or Saturday. We went on a little bit of a tap house crawl on Saturday. And I ended up going to 612.
Okay.
Gentlemen, how we doing on drinks? We're doing all right?
I'm good.
I'm good for right now.
Think about doing desserts, espressos, or
anything? No, I don't think so.
I'll tell you what, you guys have them totally hang out.
All right.
I'll get the check for you.
You guys can split it?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
And again, this is the old man coming at me, but I don't know why anyone would go to a tap room on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because it's too many friggin' people.
Yeah.
And maybe this is just me, but I'm kind of tired. And I realize saying this after drinking a very good local beer, I'm kind of tired of the local beer scene.
I am too.
In that it's all the same. Like, when we went to 612, they had four kinds of beer.
Yeah.
It was like two IPAs, a black ale, which was pretty much an IPA because that was what I ended up having. And I think I got like three quarters of the way through. I'm like, this is not that good. And it was, some other thing. It's just, it's all the same kind of stuff.
I'm a little bored of it.
And I realize we're coming out of winter, so people like the heavier stuff. Oh, it was a stout. Was the fourth beer.
I think it's getting a little boring. I think. Thank you very much,
guys. There's no rush.
I think it's just getting. I think there's starting to be an oversaturation of the market.
Mm-hmm.
There's all. I mean, you can't keep up. At this point,
no.
But that many breweries breweries are opening. Luckily, we have beer stores in town that cater to things like this.
Yes.
Not to plug anybody, but but be able to navigate through these troubling times that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
In that it's not quite spring, but we're over winter beers at this point. And everything's starting to taste the same as far as winter beer is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
To me, now I'm looking you know, especially in local beer, I'm looking for fresh, springy flavors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the macro breweries like Sam Adams have already pushed out their spring beers, the Alpine Spring.
Yeah.
I'm looking for saisons. I'm looking for, you know, a nice, light, citrusy Belgian. You know, and I'm not just talking about the women.
Belgian women are terrible.
Something that tastes, you know, it might have a little bit of a grassy note to it.
No, I'm with you. And the other thing,
I'm kind of tired of the heavy stuff now.
The other thing that concerns me is, so in the last, it was actually pretty funny. I forget which one she was talking about, but Dara Moskowitz from Dahl.
Uh-huh.
She wrote an article, I forget where it was for, probably MSP Mag. And it was talking about another tap house opening up. I forget which one. But the first sentence,
it's impossible to keep up.
But the first sentence was, because it's been several hours since a tap house opened up.
Exactly.
You know, this is what it. And you know, when I went to 612, I'm looking at all this space. Now, I've been to brewery tours, and I know kind of the rough layout.
Right.
But it worries me that there's so many of these brew places, these new breweries, that are devoting the space and the manpower to doing a tap room. Like, that's a tricky thing. And once the local beer scene collapses, which it will, I mean, it's just inevitable.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to be next year or 10 years from now.
Right.
But when it happens, you're going to have a lot of local breweries that are just sitting there with empty space.
Yeah.
And that worries me a little bit for the longevity of it.
I think you're going to have... I do agree with you. I do think there's going to be a collapse at some point. And not necessarily a collapse, but a cutback.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, just a recession, if you will.
A recession. A beer session.
A beer session. Where, you know, some of these new guys just simply aren't going to survive. It's not because the product isn't good. It's just because there's so many guys that...
There's so many. And the fact that they're all coming out around the same time is poor, I think.
Right. And that there's nothing... I like the steel toe.
Mm-hmm. I've had steel toe before.
I like this.
Decent.
I'm sure you're the Excelsior.
Yep.
I'm sure it was good too. But it wasn't like I would search this out.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't search. I don't know if you'd search out that. Beers that that I go after are beers that I've had before that I search out. You know, Lift Bridge. I think that if there is a beer session, I like the fact that we're coining this term.
I don't know if how proud I'd be about it, but it's kind of lame.
It is lame, but it
awesome. Works. It works, yeah.
I think that's one of those breweries that will survive. Summit. Grain Belt. You know, even though Grain Belt only does two beers, still, it'll be able to survive.
And I think Surly will survive,
Surly
too.
Surly will survive. But I think some of these smaller ones, as the market becomes more saturated, 612, Indeed, maybe Fulton to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
Fulton is blessed with, they've got a spectacular, their beer is separated for me.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I can't get it everywhere is a little troubling. But they've got a very good product. But they also have the luxury of where they're located.
Yeah.
Right in the shadow of the new Twin Stadium, which is going to be there for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
40 years. You can't put a price on that.
Yeah, and I think my worry is that, you know, looking at the crowds at 612, and we actually started at Dangerous Man, but I was behind in my group, so they were leaving right as I caught up, so I didn't actually go into Dangerous Man. It's just one of those where it's like, there was a lot of people that I would consider... very, I don't want to call them hipsters, but very kind of dilettantes, where this is just kind of what they're into now. And,
this is what they're doing right now.
And 6 months to a year from now, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
They're going
to
be doing
and
wine.
All of these, yeah, or, you know, or whatever, who knows, right. You know. And
donuts.
Or donuts.
Yeah.
So, before we go, I promised a few weeks ago when we talked about this, that as soon as it was available, I would partake and review it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to get you home before Matlock.
Sorry. It's late. It is late.
It is 8:45.
I know, it's late. It's bedtime.
Now, anyway.
I need my Nookie Banky and my and my pacifier. And I will go 99.
Anyway, a few weeks ago we talked about Mountain Dew getting into the breakfast drink business.
Yes.
And I get my lovely wife, who's featured heavily on the show for some reason.
God knows why.
I can barely tolerate it.
Lies, that's all you tell about here on the
show. Just because you sabotaged your marriage doesn't mean you need to take everyone else's out with you.
Yeah, the ship is sinking. You're coming down with me, Captain.
But no, she actually pointed out when we were at Target that they have a huge display for all of the Mountain Dew Kickstart drinks.
Okay.
They've only got two flavors right now.
Fruit Punch and the Orange,
Punch and the Orange.
Okay.
And you can get them for $1 on, like, the giant can.
Cool.
I don't know what size that is, like 32-ounce can or something like that.
For $1?
For $1.
Oh, God. How many did you buy?
I bought 6.
Oh, God.
Because I figured that was enough to sample and get a proper scientific opinion of it.
Quote, there were air quotes there.
I'm all about the science.
Yeah, you are.
You just shut it. So I got 3 of each, the Fruit Punch and the Orange.
Okay.
So I have not finished said initial batch, which you can draw your own conclusions.
You have one of each at least?
I've had one of each.
Okay.
Yeah. First one I tried was the orange, because I like anything orange pretty much.
Right.
And I tend to not be huge fans of Fruit Punch.
Really?
Well, we talked about this on the show.
I know, but
it's still an open one for you.
Right.
So try the orange. Basically what it is, or what it tastes like, is the impression that you get is basically a carbonated Sunny D.
I'm okay with this.
And you know, if that's what you go into expecting, then that's great.
Were you thinking like a Mountain Dew with like a splash of orange?
I don't know what exactly I was expecting.
Or maybe like Orange Crush and Mountain Dew mixed together?
It's a much stronger juice flavor than I expected. I think that's the big thing. I expected it to be more soda-y with a little bit of juice.
So not nearly as heavily carbonated.
It's fairly carbonated. I wouldn't say that. But in terms of the types of flavors, like it was very strong orange juice. I hate to use this phrase because I think it's food douchery, but that mouthfeel that you get with juice. I know.
There is a swooshiness.
There's a swooshiness. I like that. That's much better than mouthfeel. And it suffers from the same problem that orange juice and Mountain Dew have together, in that its quality is directly proportional to how cold it is.
Yeah.
As it got warmer and it just sat there, it just got less and less appetizing.
There are few things better in this world than an ice cold Mountain Dew.
Or an ice cold orange juice.
Yeah.
Like almost frozen.
Or orange juice over ice. Anytime I go on a plane, I orange juice because they always put it on ice.
Yeah.
And it's freaking fantastic. And I don't know why I don't do that at home.
I don't know.
I have ice. I have orange juice.
It's just you never can make the connection.
It's all, you know what it is? It's a tiny glass.
It's a tiny glass.
It makes me feel rich.
I've since had it where it's been refrigerated and it's very, very good.
Okay.
It's fine. The Fruit Punch I actually ended up liking more. And I think partly because
you're coming around on the Fruit Punch.
I think it's also because given the size of the can, given that there's a juice quotient to it, you can't really chug orange juice.
No.
So you're drinking it for longer than you would a Mountain Dew. Perfect example is this morning. I was severely under caffeinated this morning. So I chugged 2 Mountain Dews back to back.
Wow.
Like in the space of like a minute and a half.
The soda ban is off.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's been off for months. But it was just, I just needed like a sugar jolt, And there's no way you could do that. And I think the Fruit Punch kind of held its flavor as the temperature shifted.
Okay.
I think they're both fine. It's not...
Because it's getting brutalized in the press.
Is it?
It's just terrible.
I think it's fine. I think a lot of that is just the backlash of... There's nothing special about this. This is not going to set the world on fire like Red Bull and all of the monster drinks and all that. It's not going to do that. And I don't think it, and I know they're trying to make it sort of fit that niche. And I don't think that works.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine on its own. And I definitely felt, you know, in my caffeine and stimulant-addled system, I still felt it. I still felt like a little, you know, that energy boost to it. So, you know, it's clearly doing that right. But, you know, it's, I don't think it's, I don't think you're going to see.
It's not earth-shattering.
It's not earth-shattering at all. But it's good. You know, if I see it in the store, I'll probably pick some up.
How unhealthy is this bad boy? I mean,
you know, I actually looked. I actually, because my wife brought up that exact point.
Right.
When we realized it was the giant cans.
Right.
It is actually, it probably, if I did the math right, which was from the, off the top of my head, in line at Target, so, you know, you can, I might have gotten the math wrong, but from what my wife can tell me, Mountain Dew itself has 3 times the sugar that this does. Okay. It's actually better for you than straight up soda.
Okay. It intrigues me. I think I will have to try this.
It's worth a shot. I mean, like I said, right now Target's selling it for $1.
You're saying fruit punch over the orange.
I enjoyed the fruit punch more.
Okay.
But, you know, definitely refrigerated.
Okay.
It's not something you want to let
get. Maybe we'll throw that bad boy in the freezer for about 25 minutes.
That might be the way to go. But anyway. So there. We had people asking about my thoughts on it. Those are my thoughts.
All right.
Let's get out of here.
Final impressions of Ophelio. I think we both would recommend it.
Absolutely.
One touch that I really like is they have these little red candle holders on here.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminds me of the old pizza joints.
Yeah.
With the same big-ass salt and pepper shaker.
Salt and pepper, yeah. Ones that are normally used for red pepper flakes.
Yeah, exactly. If one of these had red pepper flakes in it, I would completely mark out. I would just be like,
This is where I'm going now.
Exactly. But I think it fits really, really well with the area. Again, it caters to its clientele really well. I think as far as restaurants around here are concerned, I've been to Cooper, and I've been to Little Szechuan, and I've been here. I've been to the Crave and Edina, so I'm not going to really count that.
Have you ever been to Toby Keith's?
No, I have not. But I would rank this, you know, 3 out of 3. Third out of three. Okay. Sorry.
And you put Cooper over this place.
I would.
Really? Because I remember you not really liking Cooper.
I have been back to Cooper. I've been back to Cooper since we went there.
Yeah.
And it has gotten exponentially better.
Okay.
And to me, that is number two. The Little Szechuan is very, very good. What they do with duck is just outstanding. So.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I like this place. I've been. I don't know if I've been to Raku or not. I don't remember if I did. But I've been to Cooper many times.
Right.
And you know, I would put this on par with Cooper.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. It's good.
It's serviceable.
I think serviceable is doing it a disservice, frankly. I think it's very good. I think the prices are
decent.
I got
it's neither here nor there.
The only price that concerns me is the cocktail price, because you're talking $10 for a cocktail, which is very odd given that the entrees are about 13 to 15.
Not all the entrees, because mine was 20.
Well, yours was 20. I mean, they do go out there, but still, I mean, you know, typically when you see a place that does $10 cocktails, you're talking $30 entrees.
They do. I believe they do a double happy hour, though. That includes those drinks and beers.
Okay.
So keep in mind.
Something to keep in mind. Anyway. We're going to quickly thank you guys for listening, because we got to go. Because I got to get this edited and up on the site.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome you to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg, foursquare.com/wellfedguidetolife, and foursquare.com. Did I say Foursquare already? Foursquare and facebook.com/wellfedguidetolife. I'm confused.
You're tired.
I'm tired.
Yeah. See?
I could use a banky right now myself.
Yeah, see?
But I guess still got several hours of work ahead of me. Anyway, thank you guys for listening as always. And we'll see you next week.